The Pentagon is already worried about the industrial base, just based on the spending cuts it's already proposed for 2013. Officials say they're keeping a close eye on things, including building a comprehensive sector-by-sector and tier-by-tier map of the defense industry so they can keep better tabs on the health of the industrial base. But Frank Kendall, the president's nominee to be the new Pentagon acquisition chief, told Congress that sequestration would change that game entirely.
And we've already taken $50 billion a year roughly out of the defense budget. So we had to take roughly another $50 billion. That's $100 billion a year out of the budget. A lot of that would fall onto industry.
It would fall disproportionately onto industry, Kendall says. That's because the language in the Budget Control Act would let the president exempt military personnel from the additional sequestration cuts, something Kendall says he would likely do in order to prevent mass layoffs of service members. That wouldn't reduce the overall cuts to the DoD budget. It would just concentrate them elsewhere.
So that would increase the burden that would fall on the investment accounts, R&D and production, and it would be fairly deep cuts. They would also have to be applied very indiscriminately. We wouldn't be allowed to prioritize, and they would fall on unobligated balances, so we would have devastating impact.
Heidi Shu, the acting Assistant Secretary of the Army for Acquisition, Logistics, and Technology, agrees personnel programs would be shielded from the blow of sequestration. Industry would not.
The bulk of the Army's budget is in the manning area, and that is not going to go down quickly. The modernization account, namely the procurement account, our research and development accounts, which impacts our primes, our second, third, fourth tier companies, are going to be significantly impacted. Everything we have judiciously worked last year to identify affordability, cost savings, cost avoidances will be gone.
Gone, DoD argues, because it could no longer pay vendors the amounts it's agreed to. And Kendall says those contracts have been big victories under DoD's Better Buying Power initiative.
A lot of the work that we've done over the last couple of years to try to make more efficient acquisition decisions and get better contract structures would be broken. The tanker, for example, which the Air Force went through a very laborious and difficult process to get under contract on a sound acquisition strategy, we would break that fixed price contract. We would have to take cuts that would break the contract from our side, then we'd have to go renegotiate. Once we're in a situation where we did a competition, for example, for the tanker, so that was very effective in getting the price down. Once you don't have a competitive environment, it's much more difficult for us to negotiate a lower price. The Littoral Combat Ship is another one where we have good prices out over the next few years. We would break that deal as well. So there, across the department, there are places where a devastating impact would occur. And, of course, that ripples down through all tiers of the industrial base.
The Pentagon is building a database of the entire defense sector so it can keep tabs on the impact defense cuts are having on small and medium firms. Kendall says DoD is worried about those companies and wants to be able to intervene quickly if it spots a problem. But under current budget constraints, he says those interventions are going to be few and far between. For example, when a company's failure would mean the military losing an important niche capability that it can't do without. Carl Levin, the Armed Services Committee chairman, asked Kendall to get back to the committee by May 10th with a report on how third and fourth tier contractors will be hit by the cuts DoD's already planning for. Kendall was also peppered with questions about the military's most expensive modernization program, the F-35 fighter. It's a program the military now estimates will cost the federal budget $1.4 trillion before all the planes are retired. In an exchange with Arizona Senator John McCain, Kendall confirmed the program has had around $150 billion in cost overruns already.
Do you anticipate further cost overruns in the Joint Strike Fighter besides the $150 billion that's already been accumulated?
We're doing everything we can to drive down the cost of the Joint Strike Fighter. I do not anticipate any cost growth on this. Anything near the scale that you just described.
Right.
We're still about 20.
Maybe only $10 billion?
I hope much less than that. We're still about 20% of the way through the test program. We are finding design issues as we go through the test program that we have to correct. So there are some cost adjustments associated with that. But I do think that the strike fighter is getting under control. I'd like to say just a couple of words about that, if I may. We're attacking the production cost by putting strong incentives on the contractor to control cost and to get the changes that have to be made cut in quickly. And we're focusing increasingly on the sustainment cost, which are larger, actually, than the production cost. We made some progress there this year in some areas, but we slipped a little bit in some areas as well.
McCain pressed Kendall a bit further to get some assurance that DoD is getting its other programs under control, like the Army's Joint Light Tactical Vehicle and Ground Combat Vehicle.
I'm not confident that any defense program will not experience an overrun. That would be quite a statement after the last 50 years of history.
Can you tell us what you estimate the cost overruns will be on these programs?
We're going to do everything we can to not have a cost overrun, so I don't have an estimate that would suggest that there would one. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're funding our programs to the independent cost estimates, and we're going to try to cap our programs there. One of the things that we're doing now is setting affordability targets early for programs and forcing them to do the trade-offs that have to be made so that they get under the cost that they initially put as a cap on the program. There's been a reluctance to do that in the past, and I think that will have a dramatic impact on the new starts that you talked about, both the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle and the Ground Combat Vehicle.
Alaska Senator Mark Begich says cost overruns are not an inevitable fact of life in government. He says he was able to bring in big projects on schedule and under budget when he was mayor of that state's largest city, Anchorage, by shifting more program risk to contractors. He asked Kendall why DOD hasn't done the same thing to cut its cost overruns.
I'm going to do everything in my power, if I'm confirmed, to keep cost overruns, eliminate them.
Yeah, in 3 years.
It's actually save us money on our programs and come in below the budget. That's what we're challenging all of our people to do.
That's good.
But the history suggests that that's going to be a very difficult task.
Could it be pretty much like almost 100% of the history? A high number.
We rarely have a program that does not overrun at least somewhat.
That tells you that system is broken.
It tells me, after 40 years of experience in the system, that we have a lot of forces for optimism and that we make mistakes about what we can do and how long it will take and what it will cost routinely for a variety of reasons.
Kendall and Hsu both testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee for a confirmation hearing, alongside several other nominees to high-level DOD jobs. Also included were Aaron Connaughton, the nominee to be the next Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness, James Miller for DOD's Policy Undersecretary, Jessica Wright for Assistant Secretary for Reserve Affairs, and Katrina McFarland for Assistant Secretary for Acquisition. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.